When the maze is gone, I'd like us to turn, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah in the 29th chapter. And the chapter 29 has a verse in there, and we're going to get to it in verse 11 that is a very familiar passage, often frequently read at graduations and to bring comfort to people. But I'd like us to understand the context of the scripture where he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. But I'd like you to begin with verse 1 of the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. He said, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So to give a little bit of context here, this was written by the prophet Jeremiah, and this letter was written to the children of Israel who were in exile in Babylon. And not all of those that were carried off to Babylon were sinners. In other words, I mean this, that the reason the children of Israel had been taken captivity into Babylon was because of God's punishment on them as a people. But just because there were some that were in Babylon from Israel did not mean that they themselves had disobeyed God. In other words, think about Daniel. Think about the three Hebrew children. They ended up being in Babylon, but it was a consequence of the sins of their brothers and sisters or their fathers and grandfathers, as the case might be. So just because there are difficult things that happen to us in life is not always a consequence of our disobedience. It's kind of like the man that was blind and people said, well, are you blind because of your sin or the sin of your parents? And Jesus' response was, it wasn't because of anybody's sin, it was for the glory of God. So just because the children of Israel, some of them were in captivity in Babylon, it was a consequence of the sin of the people, not necessarily a consequence of the disobedience of every individual that was in captivity. And also take note that he said that this was sent from Jerusalem to the residue of the elders. It was sent to the priests and to the prophets. Those that were still men of God, these words were sent to them. But consider where they were. They were supposed to be people of God, but they were in Babylon. They were not at home. They were not where things were comfortable. Have you ever been on a trip, or maybe you were staying in someone else's home, and just to get home, it's like, I'm home. There's nothing like home. You might have been in a fancier place, but it wasn't home. You might have been in someone's house that was much grander than yours, but there's nothing like home. Because that's where you're comfortable. That's yours. That's where there's a place of rest. And so he was writing to a people that were not at home. They were in difficulty. Who chooses Babylon this morning? Who chooses to be in Babylon when you could be at home? I don't think any of us willfully choose Babylon. Babylon was a magnificent city. It was a city of great wealth and riches, but they weren't at home. There is a passage of Scripture, a beautiful passage in Psalm 137, verse 1. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our harps on the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried away us away captive required of us a song, and they wasted us, required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. In other words, what they were alluding to was, we were in captivity, and the Babylonians came to the children of Israel and said, sing us a song of your home. And they said, how can we sing a song? We're in captivity. How are we supposed to have joy when we think about Zion and we think about home? We just hung our harps up in the willow trees. We can't rejoice. We can't sing because we're in Babylon. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? In other words, we're far from home. How are we supposed to rejoice? Now, Babylon typically has an inference in the New Testament, especially in the book of Revelation. Babylon is referred to a place, would refer to a place of spiritual confusion. If someone says, are you in Zion or are you in Babylon? Are you worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth? Are you free in the Lord, free from men's rule, free from men's religion? And are you truly in God's land or are you in Babylon, where man has set up their hierarchies and men have their church governance and there's all these things of men? We would refer to that as Babylon, where not all of the truth is being preached. But for the context of the message this morning, if you will give me just a little bit of liberty, I don't want us to get caught up this morning on Babylon as being spiritual confusion, but Babylon being a place that I'm not at home. Babylon being a place that I'm not at rest. Babylon being a place that I'm in captivity when things are not going right. I'm not where I want to be. Have you ever found yourself in a situation and it's like, this is the last place I want to be? I do not want to be in this situation. Maybe you went out of your way to avoid a conflict with someone and it still happened. And it's like, this is the last thing I want to deal with. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. Physically, how many of us say I'd like to be sick? There were thanksgivings this morning because the Lord brought you out of sickness. But the reality is that sometimes sickness comes, but we don't want to be there. It's not what we chose to be. Financial difficulties. When things get a little bit tight. I was talking with someone this weekend and they were asking about some of them in Africa. And, you know, times when the maize is gone, when the corn is gone and there's nothing to eat. There's nothing to eat. You can't go to the fridge. They don't even have fridges, most of them. But it's, you can't even go to the storehouse because the storehouse is empty. How many of us choose for the maize to be gone? How many of us really like financial struggles? I doubt any of us do, but it is a reality of life. I told him, I said, well, and we were talking about how blessed we are. I said, I've never really been there. And I said, you know, I don't know, most of us have had some tough times, but we are not going to bed hungry. I said, there was a time when Renee and I were newly married that things were really, really tight. And we would go sing with another couple at the hospital. And we'd go visit the sick and sing to them and try to be an encouragement. But it got to the place we almost started having to say, no, we can't go. You think, why would you say you can't go sing and minister to someone? Because on the way home, the other couple say, well, let's stop and get something to eat. We couldn't afford to stop and get something to eat. We didn't have any money to stop and buy something, even if it was inexpensive. We didn't have money to do that. And so I understand a little bit of things being really tight and not having much. And some of you have heard my story about Valentine's Day, and I went out to try to find Renee something for Valentine's Day, and I had $5 to my name. And it's all I had, and I went from store to store looking for something. I was about in tears. It was like, I want to get something for my wife. And I found a little flower. It was one little flower for $5. I hope it was appreciated. It did die. But we've been traveling. But you realize that's another story. But the point is, I know all of us go through times that maybe we don't have a lot. But most of us here haven't had the maize run out. There are people possibly listening this morning that have been in this place when the maize runs out. And there's nothing else. We're in Babylon. We're not at home. We're not comfortable where we're at. How are we supposed to sing a song? How are we supposed to rejoice because the maize is gone? I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. I don't know how I'm going to get through this affliction. Tomorrow looks pretty bleak and it looks pretty dark and things are headed the wrong direction. In relationships with loved ones, we see where the enemy is working and we say, Lord, I never wanted to be in this place in life. The burdens that we carry sometimes and it feels like the maze is gone. Feels like things have run out. Lord, I don't know what to do and I don't know where to go. But this was written by the prophet to people that were not at home in a conditions that they didn't want to be to. And he said, these are the words that I write unto you. And Jeremiah wrote some instruction and he gave encouragement in the following passages. But I would like us to consider that when the maze is gone, is referring to those conditions that are not optimal. Those conditions that we would not choose. Do you know there are marriages that go through times, they say, the maze is out. Maze is gone. Not an optimal situation. Problems in the home. Misunderstandings. Walls have been built up in marriage relationships, in family relationships. It's a desperate place to be. Especially when you have other people that are relying on you. When the literal maze is gone, do you know as a father what that does to you? Lord, how am I supposed to feed my children tomorrow? I don't know. I can't find work and my crops have been destroyed. It's what's happened in Africa recently. The cyclone came. The rains came. Destroy their crops. And that's how they live. And if the maize crop is destroyed, they don't have anything. What do you do then? Where do you turn? What are you supposed to do with the hopelessness that's there? Moving down into verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Oh, now it brings God into it. You are in a situation that you would not choose. But I want you to recognize God was in control. That's where we're not talking about spiritual Babylon this morning. But there are places that we find ourselves in and we say, Lord, is it? I wouldn't choose Babylon. And the Lord reminds us, it is me that allowed this to happen in your life. Some of the situations that happen, just like has been taught Sunday school a week ago, there are things that men can do that cause heartache to us. And man meant it for evil, but God, what? He meant it for good. That the Lord can take what man has done to cause the maze to run out in relationships, financially, physically, and we can say, Lord, you didn't cause this thing to happen, and yet the Lord says, I am still in control. Folks, this morning, God is still in control when the maze runs out. When I don't know what tomorrow holds, and I don't have any food, I don't have any maize in the storage bin, God is still in control. And Jeremiah was reminding the children of Israel, yes, you're in Babylon, but remember this, God is the one that allowed this to happen. So God still knows and he understands. And so this is what he told them to do. Then he gave them some instruction. He said, build houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and daughters, to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there, and not diminished. In other words, we're in Babylon, and when you're in Babylon, what do you want to do? Let's fold up. Let's get out, number one. I don't choose Babylon. I don't choose difficulty. I don't choose hardship. And yet the Lord's instruction to them was, if you're in Babylon, he said, I don't want you to take your tent down and fold things up and say, I just want to die. That's how Elijah felt, wasn't it? He was running for his life. He had just seen God work a miracle. Fire fell from heaven, and the next thing we see, Elijah's running away. And it's like, and he got down under the tree and said, I just want to die. And he went to sleep. Lord, just take me out of here. I won't ask you all if you've ever felt that way, but I have felt that way before. It's, Lord, I would rather you just take me now.
because I don't choose some of these things in life. Lord, I don't want to go through that. Lord, I don't want to carry those burdens. I'd rather you just come and take me. And yet the instruction of the Lord to those in places of hardship was, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't say, well, the maze is gone. I'm just going to curl up and die. He said, I want you to go out and in a strange land, I want you to build houses. And I want you to plant gardens. He said, but my garden has been destroyed. Then get up and plant another garden by the help of the Lord. You say, well, it might just get ruined this season. It might, but it might not. So don't give up. Don't quit trying in your marriages, in your homes, when you're sick, when you're having financial difficulty, when you find yourself in a place not of your choosing, when the maze is gone. He told the children of Israel in Babylon, he said, I want you to build houses. I want you to build houses. I want you to dwell therein. In other words, don't give up. Don't stop trying. He said, take wives and begat sons and daughters. In other words, keep living life. Because see, the tendency, what the enemy would like people to do is just to say there's no point to go on and give up. He said, don't give up. Don't give up this morning. But he said that you may be increased there and not diminished. Increased where? In Babylon. You want to be increased in Babylon? Do you know that the Lord wants to increase you when the maze is gone? We feel pretty diminished though. He said, but I want you to do everything within your power to be increased. Yes, in Babylon, in the middle of your hardship, in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your people problems, in the middle of the spiritual burdens that are just starting to crush you down, I want you to be increased in that place that you not be diminished. Because I am still your God. The God of Zion was the God of Babylon right here. He was their God, the people of God that were in Babylon. He's like, I'm still your God, so don't give up. I want you to dwell there. I want you to build houses. I want you to plant vineyards. We may suffer in this life, but do you know that we look for a brighter day? And there are going to be things that happen in this life that shake us to our core. They shake our very foundation. But what do we do then? Are we going to curl up and die? Are we going to walk away from God? It's like, well, I have some problems here. The worst thing we can do is walk away from God in hardships. When we find ourselves in Babylon, it's like, I don't want to be there. The Lord knows that. But He wants to still increase us when we're in Babylon. He wants to increase us in our hardship. This was a theme that we shared with some of the saints in Kenya in January in Project Christmas Blessing. Almost every place we went, and I shared it with one of our distributions in Malawi this a couple weeks ago, people that had lost their homes had fallen down. They lost all of their possessions. Their crops were ruined. And so then we take maize and blankets and a cooking pot and Bibles and go give them to these people that had lost everything. But what we told them was, that bag of maize is only going to last you so long. But when the maize is gone, there is something that is going to remain. And that is the love of God. That is the peace of God. That is the presence of God. When the maze is gone, when you find yourself in places that it seems like that you've lost everything and it seems like hope is gone, I want you to remember that in the suffering of this life, there is nothing that shall separate us from what? From the love of God. That he asked over in Romans 8, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? Oh, no. Distress? Anybody have any distresses this morning? Is that going to separate us from the love of God? Well, no, it kind of feels like it, but I know it doesn't. Persecution or famine? Do you know what famine is?
It's when the maze is gone. Is it going to separate us from the love of God? There's something greater than the temporal things of this life this morning. We can still have God in our hearts. And I told them, I said, we can go to bed hungry and we can go to bed cold and the peace of God can still be in our heart. And I would that each and every one of us experience that this morning. I don't know what maize is for you. I know what it is for those in Africa right now, many of them. But for us here today, it may not be the literal food, but when the storehouse has dried up and it seems like you're facing difficulty, there is still a place in Jesus Christ that peace can remain, that we can still, although we may be shivering and cold, we can be warm inside because of the presence of God. None of the snake, it said, who shall separate us from the love of God? He went on, shall nakedness or peril or sword? Even in the most difficult of situations, the love of God will still endure. When the maze is gone, the love of God is still going to continue. And then over in verse 7 in this same passage, and I was so struck with this, it's Lord help us. He's writing to people in Babylon. And he said, seek the peace of the city. Seek. Follow after. Pursue the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. I want to remind you, I was the one that allowed you to be carried off to Babylon. I was the one that allowed you to be carried off to a strange land. And what are we going to do when we're in Babylon? I say, I want to get out. I don't want to dwell in Babylon. I don't want to stay in a place of hardship. I don't want to stay in a place where the burdens are just pressing down. I don't want to stay in a place that we're struggling like this physically and financially. I don't want to stay there. And yet the instruction of the Lord was build houses, plant a garden. I want you to increase. Lord, you want me to increase here in Babylon. I don't want to put down roots in Babylon. I want to get out of it. And yet the instruction of the prophet from God was, I want to bless you wherever I've led you. And if I've led you through the valley, I want to bless you in the valley. If you're on the mountaintop this morning, God wants to bless you on the mountaintop. If you're going through the fire this morning, God wants to bless you in the fire. And if you're going through a time that you're just numb and you're not feeling anything, God wants to bless you in your numbness. Don't give up. Don't let down. But keep going and say, Lord, I want out of Babylon. But until your time is right, I want to be increased in my soul in this difficult place, even when the maze is gone. And so pray for the peace of Babylon. You say, I don't want to pray for the peace of Babylon. I want to pray for fire from heaven to fall down and consume it. If you've ever felt that way, you're not the only ones. The disciples did too, didn't they? When Jesus was going to go to the village of the Samaritans and they rejected him, said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven on him? And he said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. Pray for Babylon this morning. We look on the condition of our world and it seems like a little fire from heaven might get some people straightened out. It might help some of your loved ones if there'd be some fire. But if the Lord has allowed something to happen, He wants you to be increased in Babylon. And He said, pray for the peace of Babylon. Pray for the peace. Because when Babylon is at peace and that's where you're at, then you are going to be a recipient of some of that peace. That's a little hard to do, isn't it? Because I want out of Babylon. But he said, you pray for the peace of Babylon. So I don't know what your maize stock is this morning. Your stock of maize, that kind of goes both ways. I don't know what your Babylon might be, but pray for the peace of Babylon. It goes against our nature. It goes against what I want in the flesh, because I want out. And yet the instruction of the prophet was said, pray. And this is where Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4, he said, not that I speak in respect of want. Philippians 4 verse 11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? To be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to be both full and to be hungry. And then he said, both to abound and to suffer need. And he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When you are in Babylon, when the maze is gone, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. And so we say, well, what do? The maze is gone. My house has fallen down. I don't have anything. Get up and plant your field again. Their crops, some of them were destroyed 2 years in a row. So quit planting. No, get up out of your bed and in your weakness, go plant another crop. And it may be a bountiful crop. When the maze is gone and it seems like your efforts are in vain and it seems like even your service to the Lord is not bearing fruit, keep planting, keep working, keep giving, because in due time this will come to pass. Those three words are, and it came to pass. It's going to come to pass, but until it does, build houses, be increased. Plant gardens and keep doing everything you know to do, and one day it will come to pass. And that brings us to the 10th verse of this 29th chapter of Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. 70 years? Why not 65? I'd rather it be less than one. God's timing is not our timing. But when the time is right, this too shall come to pass. When the time is right. So don't give up on your family members. Don't give up on your husband and wife. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your parents. Don't give up on the finances and the temporal planning of the maze. Don't give up. Keep working, keep doing, because in due time, God will visit you. And with that context, this is what he said, this very familiar passage. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I know there's a lot that can be said about that, but that was the context. What we've shared this morning in this message is the context of that passage. I have not forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. I have a plan for your life. But when the maze is gone, God's aware of that. He knows that. But in due time, I'm going to visit you, and I've had good thoughts for you this whole time. So submit to the plan of God. Submit to His will and to His purpose, because He has thoughts of peace. He has good thoughts towards you, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He wants to bring you to a place that you won't be in Babylon anymore. He wants to bring us to a place that, thank the Lord, there's some maize in the bin outside in my little storage place. There's some maize there to get me through the winter. There's some maize to get me through the next season. That will come if we will be faithful to follow the instruction, the same instruction that Jeremiah gave to the children of Israel in exile. So when the maize is gone and I'm forsaken and the walls of my home have fallen down, Lord, I will still trust in you. There's a song they sang in Malawi. And I don't understand the language, but they told me what it meant. That the leader of the song would come out and say, I started a business and my business failed. And that in the chorus, the choir responds by saying, you put your trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. And they said, I planted my crops and my crops failed. And they said, trust in the Lord. Well, my house fell. I built a house and my house fell down. And the response by the group is, put your trust in the Lord. When the maze is gone this morning, when you find yourself in Babylon, may I encourage us today to put our trust in the Lord, because this too shall come to pass. And this is where, in closing, the prophet Habakkuk said in chapter 3, verse 17, he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine,
The labor of the olive shall fail in the fields, they yield no meat. He said, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Stalls are empty. Nothing there. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. So this morning when the maze is gone, don't lose hope. Don't lose courage. But keep dwelling. Seek for increase. Pray for peace in that place. Don't give up and don't back up. And keep planting. Keep working. And the Lord is going to come through. When the maze is gone, let's keep our trust in the Lord. Amen.